Today's podcast is brought to you by Every Wednesday, a plan to inspire the people of Portland and support the place we call home. Let's get out of the house and spend some time with each other. Skip Zoom, meet for coffee, take your colleagues out to happy hour. Buying a gift? Ditch the internet and support a local maker by shopping in-store. Head into town every Wednesday and see what's going on at everywednesdaypdx.com.
Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show.
This week's WW Rose Festival-themed cover package, The Rose Festival is Decadent and Depraved, is delivered through several different types of lenses. And yes, some are grotesque, but others are nostalgic, and others are a bit jaded, but regardless of the POV, one thing is certain with this cover package, there's big Rose City Till I Die energy in the air. I am loving it! It's Saturday, June 10th, and this is episode 127 of The Dive. Today I'm chatting with pod bestie Anthony Effinger, whose contribution to this week's cover package examined how the Rose Festival weathered the last few years and how it plans to deliver in the years to come. By the way, the Rose Festival COO, Marilyn Clint, is allergic to roses. Oh my god. Portland's wild, y'all. I'll chat with Anthony in just one sec, but first, here's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Nigel Jaquis reports that the continued walkouts of the Republican senators in Oregon legislature are roadblocking several useful solutions to Oregon problems, like minimum staffing ratios in hospitals and career and financial planning for Oregon students. The walkouts are in protest of House Bill 2002, reproductive rights legislation that, among many other provisions, would cement a minor's right to abortion without parental notification. Anthony Effinger reports that the Burry Building, a low-income apartment complex in Hazelwood that opened 2.5 years ago, has since descended into chaos. Just this year, police, fire, and medical personnel have responded to 6 calls about stabbings, 17 for assault, 4 for shots fired, 7 for vandalism, 8 on restraining order violations, and 1 labeled death, obvious, cold, stiff. The owner, according to property records, is Gateway Hermiston Affordable Housing GP LLC. Gateway, in turn, is controlled by Northwest Housing Alternatives. Now, NHA doesn't manage the building itself. Instead, it contracts with a for-profit company called Cascade Management, run by a couple named Dave and Tiffany Bachman. In addition to running Cascade Management, Dave Bachman is an executive at Cascade Capital Advisors, investing money for rich people in housing, much of it for poor people, which he manages. The Bachmans live in a $1.9 million house with a vineyard in Sherwood. They blame the Burry's woes on Portland. And on the back pages, we're eating the rich. Nope. And on the back pages, we're eating an oxtail French dip, a local fave that we lost to the pandemic, but celebrity chef Gabriel Pascuzzi has resurrected at his new Sando counter, Stacked 2.0. You can find that alongside his grain bowl shop, Feel Good PDX, Neil Ferguson reports. Now, let's sit down with Anthony Effinger for a quick chat about the return of the Rose Festival.
The Rose Festival is losing money, that's for sure. The woman who runs it, who is a dogged administrator and leader, I must say, Marilyn Clint, she's been there for decades in various roles. She became the CEO in September, and she inherited quite a situation. She, you know, as you can imagine, you didn't really want to be in the festival business when COVID hit.
Of course.
Right. I mean, what's worse than trying to gather a lot of people into, you know, smaller spaces, even outdoor spaces at that time, because we didn't know anything about this disease. And yeah, they hit a rough patch in 2020. She has quite a harrowing story of getting ready for the 2020 Rose Festival, which is in June, right? Well, in March of 2020, the world shut down, right? And so she's sitting there planning this thing, and she's looking at the numbers, and she's going, you know what? This ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Right? So they had to go into, like everybody else, they had to go into this like mode of just like, shut everything down.
Yeah.
And so they did. And then it got worse. They had to shut, you know, they're, if you don't know, they're based in that little building in the park along the waterfront.
That little glass building with the neon rose on top?
No, it's this little, does it have a neon rose? It's the green building. It's got glass windows. Mm-hmm. It's by the Hawthorne Bridge. Yeah. Yeah. And it's right there. And it's a historically significant building that, our colleague Nigel wrote about.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of gifted that building by the city as their headquarters. And it's a really nice building. And so that's the good news. They have that building, which is quite a nice asset. But she was in that building all by herself, kind of keeping the computers running because, you know, she couldn't have anybody else in the building before we had vaccines, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to figure out what to do with the Rose Festival. And then the protests started downtown and it got kind of interesting there. And so she's downtown in the building alone. Portland's kind of, you know, Portland got pretty interesting at night during those times. And then during the election, she was really worried that, you know, right and left were going to clash in November. And so she asked the city to board the building up. So she's sitting in this boarded up building trying to run a festival. It's not going to happen. And then here's the last thing. And then on the day of the Portland Marathon, which they somehow pulled off. Oh, no, this was October. This was in 2021. So she gets through 2020. In 2021, the Portland Marathon's back on. And that day, hackers from Russia break into her computers. And she sees, like, her IT guy sees stuff being, he's online, he's looking at the machines from remotely, and he sees stuff happening, that like locking up files and stuff, right? But they can't go downtown to turn off the machines because the marathon's going by on NATO Parkway.
Oh my gosh.
And the road's closed. And so she's like, oh my God.
She's been through it.
This poor woman. And then, finally, the tide turned, as I said in this story, the tide turns when they got, on November 5th, 2021, they got about $2 million from the federal government, you know, in the pandemic assistance, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had something that went out to, you know, shuttered venues. It was the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant.
Oh.
Or SVOG. And that, they got that right after that hacking. And of course they were worried that the money was going to come in and, you know, they had to protect it from the hackers, which was fine. They did. But that really turned things around and allowed them to, get through. They had to furlough a lot of people. They had to, you know, cancel a lot of things. They did a lot of things online. If you remember, they had the Rose Festival. Instead of having a parade, they had people decorate their porches and people drove around to the porches, which I thought was a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's,
I mean,
cute.
You know, yeah. But there was nothing going on in the park. There was no, you know, fun center situation or anything like that. So they managed to pull off a festival in 2022. Mm-hmm. They were back. Okay. And the federal money helped with that for sure, because they could use the federal money then. Now they, you know, you had to spend that money. So now Right. They're done. No federal money for this year, they said. So there's no federal money going on downtown this year. So, yeah, they got a deficit of about $700,000 this year.
Whoa.
That they got to make up. Wow. And the other problem they have is that is their big sponsor of the Grand Floral Parade pulled out. So they need to find a new sponsor, because Spirit Mountain had sponsored that thing and they pulled out. So they're not going broke, but they got a deficit. And here's the thing about this. They plan all year, and if they have bad weather on three weekends that this is going on, they're really screwed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because it rained. Last year, they said it poured. It poured, and then it poured through the week, and it rained on the night of the Starlight Parade and the Grand Floral Parade. So it was like they didn't make any money on, like, concessions, or any of that stuff, right? And so this year we got pretty damn good weather, and I think that is getting excited.
Yeah,
you know, people are down there checking it out, and you know, so I think things are looking up for him now, you know?
That's good to hear.
But, you know, I mean, I feel for these people. Like, it's a tough business. Like, it's, like I say, 3 weekends a year.
Yeah, and they plan it all year long.
And they plan it all year long.
That's
wild. You know,
wild.
And she's really something. I was very impressed. She was like, you know, she's been there literally, I think she started in 81.
Oh, my
gosh. 81? You know, went to Roosevelt High School, I think. And here's something I didn't put in the story. Marilyn, who's the CEO, is allergic to roses.
Oh, my gosh.
So I guess what we're going to, I mean, she's out of contract for, you know, through 2025. And her job is to make this thing break even. So we're going to see. I mean, this year is going to be very telling.
Yeah,
you know, I think you watch the crowds. I think the crowds have been pretty good.
Have you been down there?
Yeah, you know, I've ridden by and I saw stuff that we actually posted on Instagram that showed, you know, people downtown. So, yeah, I mean, like I say, it's a work in progress at this point. She did say, you know, she said over the course of all her years there, there were so many years when people were like, all right, the Rose Festival's busted. It's not going to happen again. And it just always happened again. The only year they did not have a festival was, ironically, was 1918 when there was a pandemic and a war. So it's a pretty long-lived, you know, tenacious event,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, I thought it was interesting. Like, people, she said people lined up. She said one really telling thing is people lined up to watch the formation of the floats. And that's where they kind of set them up to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, that's, you know, it's kind of like watching, you know, the sausage get made, but people love it. They like to look behind the scenes. She said that's a really good sign, and it was also a good sign because that happened right at Harvey Milk and NATO, which is very close to where some of the most troubled buildings in town have been.
Yeah,
right. So people are willing to go downtown. Mm-hmm. I mean, God bless them. That's great.
Truly,
at this point, anything gets people downtown. You know,
yeah, that's a boon,
take it, right?
Absolutely. Oh, I can't wait to get down there and check it out.
It's
part of my Portland existence is the Rose Festival. To think that it wouldn't go on is like low-key heartbreaking, but it sounds like it's gonna bounce back.
Yeah, so what's your experience?
Just being a kid, and I mean, like a kid in my 20s and early 30s, going to the Rose Festival with when my sister lived here. That was very much like a tradition for us, because I guess there are husbands now, but there were our boyfriends then. But neither one of them can sit on a roller coaster. But she and I, we're up on those swings, flying through the air. We're doing all the stuff. So that was very much our tradition. And I really want to take my kid, but, you know, my kid's autistic. So I'm not sure if it's going to be too, lights, camera, blah, 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 if it might be too much for him.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Did you ever go in the thing that it has the big rubber bands that shoot you way up in the air?
Oh, fuck that shit. Absolutely not.
No way.
No.
No way.
Near. Have you?
No. No, I had an office, though, downtown when I worked at Bloomberg News, and I used to look right out from the World Trade Center at that thing all day long. And I was like, you've got to be out of your mind. I mean, I can't handle that kind of stuff.
No way. I've seen, like, so many viral clips of people just passing out. Passing out as soon as the slingshot fires them into the air. And then they wake up screaming, and then they pass out again.
Oh, my God.
Why is that fun?
You know, we sent one of our correspondents down there on psychedelic mushrooms. I'm sure you saw that story.
I was so jealous that I was not asked to do mushrooms at the fair. I wanted to do mushrooms at the fair. That sounds like a perfect day.
Yeah, I think he got a little hung up on the bus ride down there. He gave a lot of words to that.
You know, he sure did. As I was reading it, I was like thinking, you really set yourself up for the trip that you had.
Yeah.
If I'm doing mushrooms in a situation like that, I'm spending at least a half an hour meditating on how golden and beautiful and glorious the day is going to be, how everyone is beautiful, and I am love and light. And
that's how you gotta
do that shit.
Yeah. All right. Next year you're going. I mean, I got to imagine that if they have a good year, that's going to help.
Yeah.
You
could
know,
this be that one good year?
I mean, Because, I mean, last year was just, it was just raining like hell, and, you know, that's miserable. And plus, it was the first year back after 2 years away. And I think, you know, I don't remember where I was at last year in 2022, but I think people are still a little skittish about crowds.
Oh, definitely.
You know? Mm-hmm. But I think now people are not, you know, I don't know. But it was fascinating to hear her talk about it and just the things she put up with. And it brings you back to that time in our lives, which I think, you know, I think left a mark for sure, especially on kids. But it's just wild to hear how something like that had to survive, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks to this week's guest, Anthony Effinger, and thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, bye!